Podcasting from the Garden State, welcome to another edition of the New Jersey Legal Update, presented by Stark & Stark, a 100-attorney law firm with offices in Princeton, Cherry Hill, Philadelphia, and New York. The New Jersey Legal Update is a weekly podcast providing the latest information on legal developments impacting those living or doing business in New Jersey.
Hi, my name is Jason Storpman. I'm an attorney with the Employment Law Section at Stark & Stark in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. Today I'm going to speak to you about a recent case that came out of the Third Circuit stating the fact that when an objective standard is posted for a job application, the fact that you hire a male candidate over a female candidate who did not meet the objective standard means that you can no longer use the objective standard as proof that she was an unqualified candidate. When an employer posts objective qualifications for a position, an employer would be wise to follow such qualifications when considering applicants. In a very recent case out of the Third Circuit, the court held that an unqualified female applicant had established a prima facie case, which is the first level prong for a sexual discrimination case, of employment discrimination under Title VII when the employer hired an unqualified male over an unqualified female. I'm not quite sure how this is said, I believe it's Scheidmantle, it's S-C-H-E-I-D-E-M-A-N-T-L-E, versus Slippery Rock University State System of Higher Education. The plaintiff is a woman who was already employed by Slippery Rock as a labor foreman. In March of 2003, Slippery Rock posted a locksmith position vacancy, which required 2 years of experience in locksmithing. Plaintiff applied for the position along with three male applicants. Plaintiff had received her professional locksmithing license from her completion of a home study course. Mind you, locksmithing is not a licensed profession in Pennsylvania, according to the case, so that was not necessarily a requirement for the position. However, neither the plaintiff nor the other three male applicants possessed the required 2 years of experience in locksmithing. Ultimately, plaintiff was not hired for the position, period. In fact, the candidate hired was one of the male candidates who had not completed any prior coursework, nor had he possessed the 2 years of experience either. In April of 2004, the successful candidate was promoted out of the position. The position was reposted again for applicants in June of 2004 and now required 3 years of experience in locksmithing. In the period of April through June, a male with little experience was assigned to perform locksmithing duties on an ongoing basis. Slippery Rock did not hold any interviews or fill the position in 2004, as far as the court could tell. Plaintiff filed a complaint with the EEOC, which dismissed her claim, and she filed a complaint in the United States District Court. Slippery Rock moved for summary judgment, and the District Court granted the motion because plaintiff failed to show that she was qualified for the position for which she had applied. There was no dispute that plaintiff was a member of a protective class or that the person who was hired for the position was not in a protected class. Comparing the case before it to Hugh versus Butler County Family YMCA, the court held that the plaintiff had shown a prima facie case because Slippery Rock placed a similarly unqualified male in the position, and as a result, it could no longer point to the objective qualifications as a valid reason for refusing to promote plaintiff. According to the court, the Hughes decision stands for the proposition that when an employer departs from the objective criteria contained in a job posting to make an employment decision, an employer establishes different qualifications against which an employee or applicant should be measured. Using such a guiding principle to review Slippery Rock's hiring decision, the court found that Slippery Rock created the inference that something other than the posted objective qualifications was sufficient for the applicant. Hence, Slippery Rock lost the ability to point to the job posting's objective qualifications as a valid reason for refusing to promote to the plaintiff. Additionally, the court noted its view of the Hugh decision in the case before was consistent with its review of past district court decisions. Further, the court noted that a narrow reading of Hugh would run contrary to the generously construed remedial civil rights regime in place for Title VII matters. Such an outcome would allow objective qualifications to defeat any female's challenges to the hiring of an objectively unqualified male applicant. Ultimately, the court had decided that the district court incorrectly granted summary judgment on the first prong of the famous burden-shifting test. As the court commented, there is a low bar for establishing a prima facie case of employment discrimination. Additionally, subjective qualifications have not been removed as a consideration for promoting or hiring a candidate. Such considerations typically are dealt within the second and third prongs of the burden-shifting test. However, what is unclear from this ruling is what, if anything, remains as to the issue of objective guidelines if no candidate that meets the guidelines applies for the position. What is clear, though, is that once an employer ignores the qualifications posted for a job, the employer better be even-handed in its disregard of the objective qualifications. Again, my name is Jason Storpan. I'm an attorney at Stark & Stark in the Employment Law section. Should you be interested in contacting me in connection with this case or discussing this matter further, the best way to reach me would be by email. My email is the letter J, Storpan, it's Storipan, at stark-stark.com. Such information can be accessed at our website, www.stark-stark.com. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's installment of the New Jersey Legal Update by Stark & Stark. And be sure to join us each and every Friday for another insightful discussion. We'd like to hear from you. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information about Stark & Stark and the services we provide, email us at podcast@stark-stark.com.